Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10? Now, Pastor Trent said we're the grumpy goats, so grumpy goats got to work on some Bible verses, all right? So I believe we have Ephesians 6:10 up on that we'll put up on the screen. Now, this is like our second to last week in this series, so all right, we're going to read it. We'll all read it here. We'll look at it on the screen, and then we're going to take it off the screen and practice our memorization. Okay, are the goats ready? Okay, excellent. The grant is ready. All right. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, take it off the screen and we'll give it a go. You ready? Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Man, I think we got it. Give yourself a round of applause. You know, when we come to this series, when we come to this study, we're talking about strength in the Lord, strength from the Lord. And it might seem strange in a series about strength to talk about weakness, right? But that is the topic tonight, weakness. What place does weakness have in the Christian life? You know, there's a lot of ways that people, out in the world, and even Christians, try to deal with weakness. You know, we might look at weakness and say, weakness, it has to be overcome at all costs. You know, you take whatever your weakness is and you turn it into your strength. All right, that's real good motivational speaking. I'm not sure that's real good Bible, as we're going to find out tonight. There's statements like, you know, never let them see you bleed, right? Hide your strength and minimize your strength. And at all times and in all situations, project strength and hide your weakness. Did I say hide your strength? I think I did. Okay, hide your weakness, project your strength. You know what I'm saying. There's even a mindset of surrendering to weakness, even celebrating weakness and affirming weakness. And what I mean by that is the idea that you know, someone would say, well, this is just who I am, and I'm going to accept myself, and I'm going to love myself, and I'm going to just celebrate the fact that, you know, I have this, you know, limitation, or and even to the point where some would celebrate sinful things and be like, you know, affirming those things, affirming those even character weaknesses or sins. You know, I tell you, I honestly certainly don't like weakness in my own life. You know, it's embarrassing to say I can't do something, or that things are hard, or that, you know, things are difficult, or to feel pain, or to be weighed down. You know, I don't like those things. I want to do all I can to alleviate the pain and the burden and the weakness and the difficulty and to get out of every situation that shows just how weak I am. You know, Christianity has a very paradoxical approach to weakness. Christianity affirms that we are weak people. But it also says that weak people can be strong. And even goes so far to say that weak people become strong in their weakness without the weakness necessarily being alleviated or removed. That is the Christian paradox that we proclaim: in weakness we are strong. And in weakness God's strength is perfected. That's one of the verses that we're going to come to tonight. Now, again, this is not the self-improvement of, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? It's not like that, whatever that song is. Isn't that a song or a statement or whatever it is? Okay, it's not that, right? This is not self-improvement. This is us coming to Jesus in our weakness, trusting his leadership over our lives, and then receiving the ability to glorify God in weakness, and to serve God and to follow God in weakness through embracing weakness, whether or not it is removed. Certainly, we praise God that sometimes weaknesses and pain and difficulty is removed from our lives, and suffering is removed from our lives, but there are some other times that it is not, and that has a purpose, and that is something that must be embraced and given to God and yield to God. You know, it really comes down to this. Our lives are simply not about us. Our lives are about the Lord. They're about his glory. They're about living for him. And the thing is that God's strength most powerfully performs on the stage of our weakness. And so that's why, oftentimes, God allows weakness into our lives. And he says, okay, right in the middle of that weakness, that's where my strength is going to be shown very, very powerfully. 2 Corinthians 12, let's read verses 1 down to verse number 10. The scripture says this, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." Now, this is a kind of a tricky passage in the very beginning here, where Paul's like talking about somebody, and it's like, who is that person? He's really talking about himself and some miraculous revelations and special experiences that he had with Jesus. But he says, listen, even though I had those things, I'm not going to glory in those things. But he goes on in verse number 7 to talk about what he would glory in. Let's continue reading. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That statement right there, where he goes, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." We're going to talk about that a lot more, but that's something to know, to highlight, to mark, to consider in your heart and mind. He continues on, verse 10 says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." That's that paradox of Christianity. When I am weak, then am I strong. So tonight, weakness. What place does weakness have in our lives? We need the Lord's help for us to get a hold of this. Let's ask Him to help us as we study the Word tonight. Father, we come to You this evening. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Thank You for how powerful this passage is and how it shows us just the way that You've set before us, that there is weakness that is a part of our lives, that there are difficulties, there is oftentimes suffering and things that we would rather not have in our lives. But Lord, You put them there for a reason. And God, I pray that You teach us tonight through Your Word so that we might embrace weakness in a way that would honor and glorify You and that would show Your strength in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, throughout the whole book of 2 Corinthians, he's really been doing kind of one thing. He has stood up before this church, the Corinthians, and they have had some questions, and there's been people that have been kind of bucking up against Paul. And it's like, Paul, who do you think you are? Why do you think you're the great apostle? And so he's defending his position as a servant of God. And he goes about this defense with a number of different things, but here he takes a little bit of a unique turn. He says, you want to know why you can know I'm a servant of God? It's because I am weak. And any strength that you see in my life, it's not me. It is God working in me. And so here's kind of the main idea, and I wrote this in your outline so that you'd have it to think about and to chew on. Weak me plus God's supply of grace is real strength. That is real strength. Weak me plus God's supply of strength. And so the question is, how can we approach weakness well? And how can we embrace weakness? And so really tonight, there's two things I want to show you. Two reasons we can embrace weakness as children of God. The first thing is this, and this is the first blank on your outline, because God gives weakness. We can embrace weakness because God gives weakness. Now, this is a little bit difficult, and there's a lot that we need to work through here. Let's jump back up to verse number 7. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Did you notice that statement right there? That thorn in the flesh, we'll talk about that in a second, that thorn in the flesh, it didn't just happen upon Paul. It's not like he was walking down the road one day and stepped on a prickle and got stuck in the foot. It wasn't chance. It was what? It was given. There was given me a thorn in the flesh. And by all indications, it was God that gave the thorn. Now, here's the thing that just blows my mind even a little bit more. What was the means or the delivery of that thorn? Look at this. He says, I lost my place. Verse 7. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God gives a thorn by the hand of the messenger of Satan. Now, before we kind of flip out and like, wait a minute, how is that possible? God's working with Satan. What's happening here? This is very much like what happened to Job. And your heart and mind might already be drawing connections to the book of Job. In the book of Job, you have an account where it's like the curtains of heaven are pulled back and we see before the throne of God. And apparently Job, in his life and his faithfulness to God, comes up before God and God is like, hey, look at this guy. Look at how he loves me and he follows me and he serves me. And it's like, that's pretty cool that God would recognize someone's faithfulness and love for him. And then Satan is there and says, hold up a second, God. You know why he loves you? It's because you've been so good to him. And you've made him rich and you've given him a big family and you've given him a good life. Of course he would love you. And so God says, I don't think that's the case. You can touch his possessions. You can take his possessions away. God even allows Satan to take his children away. God even allows Satan to take his health away. And that's where we get those powerful words where Job turns and says, even though the Lord has smitten me and has brought this into my life and allowed this into my life, I will still praise him and I will still bless him. I think that's exactly the same idea of what's going on with Paul. Paul looked upon this thorn in the flesh as something that was given by God, and he knew that, you know, the enemy was attacking and that God had allowed that. What is this thorn? What is this thorn? You know, this thorn, it seems like there's, you know, a couple different ideas about this. It seems that it could have been a physical problem, a physical disability, perhaps something to do with his eyesight. Others say that it could be an expression of intense spiritual warfare, you know, kind of like in Ephesians 6, where the enemy's shooting flaming arrows at him. It could be this spiritual warfare. Regardless of exactly what that thorn is, what do we know about thorns? Here's your next blank. Thorns do hurt, right? Thorns hurt. I don't know if you've ever done some backwoods adventuring. You probably got yourself into a bramble and you came out with a thorn. You know, one of my first summer jobs was picking blueberries at the blueberry patch, very aptly named. And picking blueberries was fine. You know, you go out there and you pick them and you're paid by the pound. So it's like, fill that bucket up as fast as you can and get it back there so you can, you know, you get paid. But they also had a raspberry patch. And we did not often pick in the raspberry patch. And I did not like that. Right, because it's a lot harder to go fast and get lots of berries when you're reaching in and you got thorns and you get stick in the arms and all those things. You know, this has given me, thinking about that, give me flashbacks to our pavilion outside. You know, the little spot where we're in the backyard where the picnic tables are, kids' playgrounds. I don't know what kind of wood that is, but it's like you just brush up against that and you got 15 splinters in your hand or your arm. And I'll tell you sometime about my splinter stories, my splinter trauma. But I tell you, regardless of what the thorn is, thorns hurt. And God gave the thorn. God allowed the thorn. God brought the thorn into his life. And here's the second thing we see about these thorns. They have a purpose. Your next blank, thorns have a purpose. Did you notice the reason that God allowed this to come into his life? The reason that God, I struggle even saying allowed, the reason that God gave this thorn. That's a pretty serious statement. The reason that God gave this thorn is in verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. The last end there. Paul says, listen, God knows what he's doing. God has a purpose in giving this thorn. And for Paul, it was to counteract his pride. You know, there's one other place in the Bible where this, like this exact same phrasing and wording is used. It's over in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, where it talks about the man of sin. It's talking about the end times, future things to come. It talks about the man of sin and how the man of sin exalts himself against God and as in opposition to God, and how the man of sin, he seeks worship for himself. And Paul's saying that God, he gave me this thorn for a reason, so that I would not become prideful, I would not exalt myself, because it's almost like he's saying this: I trust that God is helping me through this thorn, because the pain of this thorn is not as bad as the danger of pride. Where he's like, for me to be lifted up, that would be incredibly destructive. And so God knows what he's doing to give us this thorn. Now, the third thing about thorns is that thorns, they just might remain. They just might remain. Thorns may remain. You see in verse number 8, Paul writes and he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." It's not like he enjoyed it. I mean, Paul wasn't a masochist that's like, "Hey, I eat thorns for breakfast. Bring on the pain, bring on the thorns. I'm ready for them." He's like, no, I would rather get rid of this thorn. I would rather not be suffering this pain or this disability, this difficulty, this distress. I'd rather get rid of it. And so we ask God three times and says, "God, would you take this thorn away? God, please take this thorn away. God, would you take this thorn away?" But God's answer was no. And he's going to say something else, and is going to lead us into the next reason that we can embrace the weakness and the difficulty that God brings into our lives. But before we go on, a couple quick lessons to highlight, to wrap this up. What do we need to know about thorns? What do we need about weakness and suffering? You know, suffering, it's not always a result of our own sinfulness. Sometimes we're suffering, it's not because we did anything wrong. Certainly, there's a Bible principle, we reap what we sow. Right? There's consequences to certain actions and things that we've done. However, there is difficulty and weakness that is not due to our own sinfulness. Second thing, every weakness is under the hand of God. Praise God for that. That there's nothing that gets by God that caught him off guard, that he didn't know was coming. Every weakness is under the hand of God. And suffering in our lives is not without purpose. That's a wonderful thing. It's not without purpose. There might be something that you look at and say, what is the purpose in this? What is the reason for this difficulty, for this health issue, for this situation that I can't overcome, I can't get away from? There's a purpose for that. And the fourth thing we need to realize about these difficulties and these thorns is that usually while we are in the middle of suffering, we often don't know the reason for the suffering. In Paul's case, it became clear to him that this thorn, I'd rather get rid of it, but God's allowing it to remain, and God has a purpose in it remaining. But a lot of times, much like Job, while we're right in the middle of our weakness and of our suffering, we don't know the reason for the suffering. And that's where God answers. That's where God answers Paul. Would you go with me to verse number 9? He has asked and said, "God, remove it. Remove it. Take it away." But God says this: "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The second reason we can embrace weakness is because God gives enough grace. That's your next point there. God gives enough grace. See, God says to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." It's like God is saying, "Paul, I have enough grace for your weakness." It's like God looks down upon him and says, "Paul, I'm not going to leave you high and dry. I've got you, and I've got the resources you need to be strong in the middle of this weakness." That's what he's highlighting for us. This is grace enough, your next blank, grace enough for us to be strong in weakness. Again, this is the paradox, right? Because we think if there is weakness and difficulty and the inability to overcome obstacles or to take away painful situations, then there cannot be strength, right? Because if there's weakness, there can't be strength. And if there's strength, of course, there'd never be weakness. But this is the paradox of Christianity, where God says, "My strength is made perfect in" what? Can we read it together? "For my strength is made perfect in," say that word with me, "weakness." This place, right here, without the weakness being removed, that's where God's strength would be made perfect. It's in verse 9 where he says, down at the end of the verse, he said, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. Let me pause there for a second. Infirmities, right? That's sickness. That's weakness. That's disease. That's some sort of problem, some sort of physical problem. He says, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, I'm not just going to endure this weakness. God's grace is not just enough for me to be strong in this weakness, but here's the real kicker. God's grace is enough for Paul to rejoice in his weakness. That's your next blank. God's grace is enough for us to rejoice in our weakness. Did you see what Paul said there? He said, I will glory in my infirmities. Glory is boasting and bragging and showing off. It's like Paul saying, I'm going to show off what God is doing with this thorn. And this is the place where Paul stops praying, saying, God, remove the thorn. And it's where he starts praising and saying, God, thank you for the thorn. That takes some grace, does it not? Because that's not natural. The natural thing is to bemoan our weakness and to want to get rid of it and to conquer it and to get rid of, to remove it from our lives. Listen to what Andrew Murray said. I found these thoughts so helpful. The Christian tries to forget, but God wants to remember our weakness, to feel it. The Christian wants to conquer their weakness, but God wants us to rest in our weakness and even rejoice in it. The Christian mourns our weakness, but Christ teaches us to say, I take pleasure in my infirmity. The Christian thinks that the greatest hindrance to their Christian life and to their service to God is that weakness, but God is telling us that the secret is our weakness, heartily accepted and continually realized, that gives us our claim and access to the strength of Him who has said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Did you catch all that? There's a lot in there, and that's so powerful, is it not? Where we want to get rid of it, God says, hey, no, I've given it to you for a purpose. Enough for us to rejoice in our weakness. Finally, God's grace is enough for God to be glorified in our weakness. When we come down to the end here, would you look with me at verse number 9? He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's realized, he said, listen, I can glory right now because the power of Christ is resting upon my life. And when other people looked upon Paul's life, they saw a weak man. They saw a man who had a weak presence. He didn't necessarily have a commanding presence. He wasn't the one you looked at and said, wow, that guy is the man, right? He's the superhero. He looked and said, who is this guy? Why is God using him? And he said, he's using me because his power is resting upon me. It's not my ability and my strength, it is his. Which, when we look at verse number 10, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. That's quite a statement, is it not? To take pleasure in sickness, in weakness, and in infirmities, and in being a patient. That's not something I personally take pleasure in. I don't like being poked and prodded and needles and blood drawn and any of those things. I don't like any of those things. But he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And it's obvious that the strength wasn't Paul's, it was God's. And that's why he was able to rejoice and to see God glorified in his weakness. Now, one thing before we close off, I've used the word weakness a whole lot of times. What is this weakness? Well, for Paul, it was certainly some sort of physical pain, disability, physical problem. We find in verse number 10 that it was also reproaches. It's when people attacked him and opposed him and cast, what is that, throw shade? Like you throw shade on somebody, right? And reproaches. It was in necessities. It was in financial difficulty. He said, in necessity, in financial difficulty, in not having enough, I am finding God's power to be enough, God's grace to be enough for me. That's a pretty incredible one. Is that something that you or I need to hear tonight? He says, in necessities, in persecutions, when he was attacked for preaching and serving Jesus. And finally, I think this last one is just kind of like a summary of all of these things, in distresses. You felt some distresses in your life? There's things that are weighing upon you, pressing you down. Maybe it feels like they're crushing you. He says, things that are distressing, things that weigh on our hearts and our minds and cause fear and sorrow and sadness and sometimes even doubt, distresses. This is what this weakness is. And what Paul says is, I've learned that right now, in this weakness, I can go through this weakness, not just enduring it, but rejoicing in it and being strong in it, because right here in this place is where God's strength is made perfect, where Christ's power is resting upon me. And so it really comes down to this. Are there things in your life right now, maybe even look into the past. Maybe there's something that's out on the horizon where it's like, I really don't like that thing. I don't want that in my life. I would rather that I could have a different lot in life. And certainly we can and should ask God to work and to there's things we need to bring to God and we are to cast our cares upon Him and trust Him. He is the great physician. But sometimes He knows that the very best thing for us is for that thing to remain, for the thorn to stay, so that we might exhibit His power in our lives. You know, I think about many of those who wrote hymns. Fanny Crosby, basically born blind, wrote some hymns that you certainly know. To God be the glory, praise Him, praise Him. And this blew my mind. Apparently, she wrote 8,000 other hymns. That, talk about prolific. That's incredible. She said this when she was 8 years old. Fanny wrote about the malady of her eyes. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. That's embracing the thorn and allowing God's strength to be made perfect in our weakness. You know, it goes back to the whole thing. Is your life about you or is it about Him? One of the phrases that is repeated in both 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians is found in 2 Corinthians 10:17. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Our bragging, our boasting, the things that should get us excited is the Lord, glorying in Him. Because here's the thing, if it's my strength, then it's my glory. But if it's His strength, then it's His glory. And that's really what it comes down to. Some things there down there at the bottom, some diagnostic questions, some things to consider. How readily do you admit weakness and limitations? Have you adopted some of the scripts that we talked about in the beginning where it's like, I'm going to do everything I can to overcome weakness. I'm going to, you know, hide weakness and minimize weakness. Or maybe you've decided to surrender and you're just going to live under weakness. The thing that we found in this series is that God commands strength for us. God supplies strength for us. And the amazing thing about the Christian life and about Jesus is that He enables us to have strength in the middle of weakness. That is incredible. What is your mindset toward weakness? Are you angry with God for some suffering, for something that He allowed into your life? Do you feel that there's no purpose in the difficulty, the distress, the trouble that you're facing right now? And I challenge you to go to God's Word and let Him remind you that there is purpose. He allows those things to remain because He is the one who knows best for our lives. You know, it really comes down to this. This is kind of the whole Christian life. The thing about Christianity is that we admit weakness. We admit sinfulness. You remember what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, it's not about you and I becoming strong, successful, capable, able to handle it all people. It's about us knowing a Savior who has made it possible for our sins to be forgiven, to do what we cannot do for ourselves. That is the essence of the gospel. And if you've never believed in Jesus and you're trying to go about earning your own righteousness, you're going totally the wrong way. because your sinfulness is not something you're going to overcome. You're going to need to receive forgiveness and to receive righteousness from Jesus. And Christian, for the weakness, you're not. There's some that will be removed and some pain that will be lessened and some that God miraculously takes away. Praise God for that. But there's others that he leaves. And when he leaves it, he also leaves us and gives us enough grace for his strength to be made perfect in our weakness. Would you bow with me? Father, we come to you this evening. And Lord, I pray for each one in this room. Lord, I don't know the distresses and the weights that are upon their hearts and lives and the things that keep them up at night. But God, right now, I ask that you would use your word to work in hearts, that we would not look at these things as in hatred and in disgust and looking for them to be removed. Lord, I pray that they would drive us to you, that they drive us to dependence upon you. And Lord, that we'd not seek to run away from the feeling of weakness, but that we'd run to you in that feeling of weakness and allow your strength to be made perfect in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.